You may remember learning about, maybe even writing haiku back in school. The poems, inspired by a Japanese tradition, look short and simple, but they can pack a lot of punch. Our next guest turned to haiku to deal with and to share her experiences with long-term illness and disability, starting with poems composed in MRI machines, infusion centers, and waiting rooms. Ellen Samuels is professor of gender and women's studies and English at UW-Madison, author of Fantasies of Identification, Disability, Gender, Race. Her critical work has appeared in a number of journals and anthologies, including Signs, Journal of Women in Culture and Society, and Feminist Disability Studies. Ellen's latest book is a collection of haiku called Hypermobilities. Ellen, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm happy to be here.
Well, your book dives right into haiku, and I was hoping you could share some of the first section with us called Hypermobility.
Yes. So there's seven poems in each section, seven haiku, so I'll just read them from this first section. The first poem is called Hypermobility. No one is supposed to bend that far. No one knows why you don't just break. Baton hypermobility scale. Thumb, wrist, palm on floor. All the ways you go too far. Tally up your score. The difference between joint subluxation and dislocation. Door unlatched in the body house. Shutter to slow kiss the jam or slam. Hypermobility of the small joints. To press a button means fingers, muscle, past bone. Yes, no, enter, yes. Hypermobility of the large joints. If your legs were wings, they need to swing this far out, and feathers, and sky. Hypermobility of the large joints, too. Don't climb a hill, then pick up leaves. Too much bending, I mean ambition. Hypermobility of the large joints, 3. The ankle joint is connected to the leg joint. That's enough for now.
Now, before we talk more about the poetry and how you wrote it, can you tell us a little bit about this chronic condition, hypermobile Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, if I'm pronouncing that all correctly?
Yeah, Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is named after the two doctors who first described it. So one doctor's last name was Ehlers and one was Danlos. It is an inherited collagen defect. Collagen is one of the building blocks of our bodies. So this collagen defect affects all the systems of the body in a variety of ways. But the most hallmark way and often the most visible way is that it causes what they call hypermobility in joints. The ligaments that are supposed to hold your joints in place are weakened by this disorder. And so joints can slip out of place, can, as they say, medically subluxate, which is like a partial dislocation, or dislocate just from the tiniest movement. I can dislocate my shoulder just, you know, turning over in bed. And Ehlers-Danlos syndrome is considered a rare disorder, but in recent years, it's being diagnosed much, much more often, and it's beginning to be thought it was more of an underdiagnosed but more common syndrome, rather than being as rare as was once thought.
You've been living with this for a long time, pre and post diagnosis, lots of treatment. What started you coming up with these haiku about it?
Yeah, it started in 2014 when I was diagnosed with a complication of Ehlers-Danlos syndrome, which was a dissection in one of the arteries going to my brain. I spent a lot of time in MRI machines, getting head and neck MRIs. And that's quite an intense experience in any case, but in my case, they were often, it was in a very emergency setting, which was more stressful. And it's very loud in the MRI machines. They give you little headphones with music, but you can't really hear the music because the machine is so loud. And I needed something to kind of hold on to get through these hours in the machines. And so I started to write haiku in my head because it was such a short form that I could write it in my head without, you know, being able to write on any form of writing implement. And I started doing that as well when I was getting other treatments. spending time in the infusion centers at the hospital with different drugs. And it just really helped center me and give me a sense of control when things felt very out of control. And that's why I really hewed very strictly to the 5-7-5 syllabus form, which isn't even, I think, by haiku experts considered quote unquote real haiku at this point. But for me, it was really essential to the experience.
When did this go, Ellen, from basically a coping mechanism to something you realized you wanted to share with the world?
Yeah, that's a good question. At a certain point, I started writing them down in a document on my computer and occasionally posting one on social media. And I think when I had about 20 or 25 haiku was when I started to think maybe these are more than a coping mechanism. Maybe I'm actually writing a book and it's kind of a memoir in haiku about this experience. I have an MFA in creative writing from Cornell University. I've wrote and published poetry a lot early in my career, but more recently I had not written and published poetry in a long time. And so it was probably, after a couple of years of doing this that I started to turn it into a book. And then it was just published this year, which I'm really excited about.
Talking to Ellen Samuels, professor at UW-Madison, author of the new book we're talking about, a collection of poems, haiku, called Hypermobilities. I want to talk about this for a couple different audiences, Ellen. First of all, for people with disabilities, what are you hoping that they take out of your, as you say, your memoir in haiku form?
I'm glad you asked that because, I mean, the disability community is the community that has sustained me through my experience both before and after diagnosis as a person with significant physical disabilities. And so for my community, I hope to say first and foremost, always, you're not alone. It's tremendously isolating to have any kind of disability, to have any kind of chronic illness. You often feel very cut off from the world. And so I see all my writing as different ways to connect with that community and say, you're not alone. Here's my experience. Is my experience useful to you? Just as so many others, writers' experiences have been so profoundly useful for me.
And then for people not dealing with a chronic illness or a disability, or at least not yet, I guess, Ellen, one line that stuck out in your afterword to the book, quoting, "I don't want to be pitied, but I also don't want to pretend everything is okay." That struck me. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, that's really the bind that you're in with any kind of chronic illness, I think, is that how do you answer the question, how are you? Beyond if you just you give the automatic okay, right? If you tell the truth, then the automatic reaction is some kind of pity or otherwise putting you, you know, assigning you to a category of someone who is damaged in some way. And that healthy people want to distinguish themselves from, right? We literally have, you know, expressions like "there, but for the grace of God, go I," or like, you know, well, if I see that Ellen, with everything she's dealing with, you know, can do this, then I shouldn't complain. That seems like an uplifting sentiment at first, but it's actually a profoundly dehumanizing one in a way, because it suggests that we are not the same kind of people. And I just have to observe that I think this is true at all times. It was true when I wrote the book pre the COVID-19 pandemic, but certainly during the pandemic, it's becoming clear that we are all vulnerable. We are all physically, mentally, and emotionally interdependent, linked, and vulnerable people who cannot divide ourselves into the worlds of so easily of who is healthy and who is not.
In our last minute or so, Ellen, for getting back to others in the disability community now, would you encourage them to join you and I think a growing number of people with disabilities who are expressing themselves in poetry, in prose, in whatever form?
I do. I do encourage everyone to write or create in the way that works for you. There are, of course, Instagram poets. That's not something I could ever do, but I think if that works for people and it reaches people, it's great. I've had the great privilege of teaching writing in a variety of settings for the last few decades. And one of the most amazing things is to see someone who says, I've never even thought to write a poem in my life. What is a poem? And then by the end of the semester have discovered in themselves this rich, beautiful, poetic voice they didn't know was there. I think writing is a gift, but it's also a skill that can be learned and that everyone can do it.
It's a great place to leave it. Ellen, thank you so much for joining us today and sharing some of your poetry.
Thanks for having me.
Ellen Samuels is a professor of gender and women's studies and English at UW-Madison. We talked to her today about her new book of haiku poetry. It's called Hypermobilities.